Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to our second Wisden Cricket Daily podcast on the second test at Vizag. If India got baz-balled in Hyderabad, they've boomered England here. India bowled England out for 253, giving them a 143-run first innings lead and with a test match in their complete control. I'm Yaz Rana and with me today is Katia Whitney. A quick run through of the day first. England will have been reasonably chuffed bowling India out for under 400 in the morning session. Anderson was sensational. He dismissed both Ashwin and Jaiswal after Jaiswal became the third youngest double centurion for India in Test cricket before Bashir and Ahmed picked up the final two wickets. Job done. And England started their response well. Duckett and Crawley were brisk. Crawley even took 16 from one Bumrah over. But then Kuldeep got Duckett at City Point. But England was still going quite well. They raced along to 114 for one when Axar Patel came on and drew a mistake from Zach Crawley, who was caught well by Iyer on 72. And then the day was all about Jasprit Bumrah. A sensational spell of reverse swing bowling. He first accounted for Root and then Pope with a lethal Yorker that took out middle and leg stump. There were brief periods of resistance for England. Stokes scored 47, Bairstow 25, but England had no answer for the pace and skill of Bumrah and the mystery spin of Kuldeep Yadav. Bumrah finished with 6 for 45 as England were bowled out for 253, needing another miracle to go 2-0 up in the series. Katia, England were just totally blown away by Bumrah.
Yeah, ridiculous. Another level, really. I was thinking when I was watching it, there just isn't another bowler who can even kind of come close to what Bumrah is able to produce on those kinds of attritional pitches. And then to be able to throw the ball to a seamer when R. Ashwin hasn't done it for you and him to be able to just blow through a side like that, it's quite extraordinary. And we were saying earlier that the spin attack with Ashwin and Jadeja and Axar and Kuldeep and whoever they can choose from is ridiculous. But when you're only playing one or two seamers, to have one of those seamers being Bumrah and Shami still to come in is pretty extraordinary. Like that ball he bowled to Pope today, you know, a bloke who's come in having just got 196 full of confidence and he's made him look absolutely silly with no stumps left behind him. It's just ridiculous, really. So yeah, just another level. And he averages what, 10 under Rohit's captaincy? Because yeah. I think the way Rohit uses him as well is pretty important to why he's so good as well. Like for a batter, he's never far away. He's never more than half an hour away. So when you're playing at Ashwin or you're playing whoever, it's still in the back of your mind that Bumrah is not far away and he's going to come back. But yeah, it's just ridiculous, really.
Yeah, I mean, the image of the day is definitely Pope leant forward, the bat between his legs and two stumps out of the ground beneath him. You know, the guy who's seeing it like a beach ball last week, not being able to get a bat on it this time round. I thought it was really interesting hearing him at the end of the day talking about, you know, because people will be wondering, you know, his stats now. So he has 152 test wickets at 20.28. Of bowlers to take more than 150 test wickets, he has the lowest bowling average of everyone except from SF Barnes, who played his last test match in 1914. So people are wondering what makes Bumrah so special. He's obviously got a quirky action that might make it hard to pick up. But I don't know, listening to him at the end of play there, he talks about really setting players up and being able to execute exactly what he wants to do as well. So he's got the brain of a great and he's got the execution of a great at the same time, and put those together, that's a lethal combination. I thought it was quite interesting comparing Mukesh to Bumrah, you know, which is obviously a very harsh comparison for Mukesh, who's just making his way in Test cricket. But there was a point when England were going well, Rohit brings on Mukesh and the ball's reverse swinging from ball one. And Mukesh is getting the ball to swing quite a lot, but it's completely out of the hand. And it's quite predictable. Well, I guess, it is quite predictable. And Pope was able to, even though the field was packed in front of square on the leg side, Pope was still able to pierce the gap because he sort of knew what was coming each time. He could read it out of the hand. But when Bumrah came on, he had two balls at reverse swing in, couple at reverse swing away. He uses the crease really well. He comes at you in so many different ways. His manipulation of that reverse swing that both the bowlers had was just incredible. And, you know, look at who he got out as well. Pope, Root, Bairstow, Stokes, ripped the engine out of that England batting order. I mean, Anand asked, who is the best all-format bowler in the world? Would it be Bumrah?
Yeah, well, it is Bumrah. I don't think there's much competition there. But if you look not just at Bumrah, but I think one of them would also be Mohammed Shami. And he's probably going to come back in the next test, we're thinking. So to not just have Bumrah as one of the best all-format bowlers in the world, but then to also have Mohammed Shami, such a part of, when we talk about India's dominance at home and we talk about because they prepare turners or because they've got the best spin attack in the world, so much of a part of that is that they've got these high-quality seamers that when you're only playing two of them can still run through a side. Like we were saying earlier, like the balance of India's attack, like do you even need the second seamer? And it's such a question when that first seamer is Bumrah because he does the work of, it's so difficult to have a seamer who's going to be able to come on and complement Bumrah when someone like Shami isn't available. It's just incredible.
You know, India bowled England out for 253 in the first innings and Ashwin's gone at fives. 12 overs, no maidens, none for 61. Axar's gone at sixes, four overs, one for 24. England talked so much about their preparation for the series. We had Ollie Robinson on the podcast who outlined that they were preparing for these extreme conditions. Bumrah really is a difference. It was very, very similar to the first innings in Hyderabad when England were all out, I think, for a nearly identical score. It was Bumrah on that occasion who sort of got rid of the big guys in the middle order. You sort of feel like this series increasingly, and not necessarily will be defined by England's battle against Bumrah, but such a big part of it will be, can they get through his spells? And two, how many runs do they get when he's having a rest?
But I also think there's a type of kind of a type bowler type thing. Because if you look at Anderson, and we were praising Anderson this morning, and rightly so, he was excellent. But they're such different seamers in these conditions. Like Anderson will come on and he won't go for any runs and he'll pick up those wickets and he'll do the job. But he's not going to run through you in a session consistently like Bumrah will. So if you're looking at the differences between the two sides and where that's going to be at the end of the series, we've talked so much about England's inexperienced spin attack, that they're facing spin in these conditions, but when there are only one or two seams in a side, that's the difference. It's such a huge difference to be able to chuck the ball to someone like Bumrah compared to chucking the ball to a different kind of seamer.
100%. You know, people, we've talked so much about spin this series, but you go back to England's 2012 win, as well as Swan and Panesar bowled. Dhoni at the end of the series said Anderson was the difference between the two sides. Anderson at age 41 shows what a difference seamers can make. We've got a few questions about the makeup of the England side that we'll address in part two. It wasn't all Bumrah though. Kuldeep, another one who hasn't really played much Test cricket in India. He was brilliant.
You're talking about all format bowlers. Like Kuldeep hasn't played a ridiculous amount of Test cricket, but you know he might be up there for a shout. He was really, really good. And when you think about leg spinners, particularly with the way England are batting, you think that's the one that they'll look to target. But even through doing that, you brought up the Abrar Ahmed thing. Like Abrar Ahmed took seven for in Pakistan against England when they tried to slog him, and doing that against Kuldeep as well, it didn't really work today. And to be able to have, again, you've not got Jadeja in this test match and then you're bringing in Kuldeep instead and giving you that point of difference. You've got Axar as a left armer, you've got Ashwin, and then you've got Kuldeep Yadav. That's an incredible option to go back to. And I was thinking, when Jadeja comes back in, surely it can't now be a given that Kuldeep's going to be the one
I think
way.
It's going to be for Mukesh. Yeah. You know, you say that Chami's going to come straight in. Not necessarily, you know. Maybe they leave out Axar, but Axar in this test match is batting six for them, and Axar's had so much success against England, and he got the wicket of Crawley, which was really important. England were 114 for one, going so well before that collapse, and it was Axar that made the breakthrough. Yeah, I just think on Kuldeep, his story is amazing because he sort of broke into the India team in white ball cricket when he was quite young. He had one test in Australia where there was talk about he might actually be India's number one spinner in overseas test matches. He takes a five for in that one test match. He goes to the 2019 World Cup as an absolute shoo-in that India lineup. And then it sort of goes really badly wrong for him. He was out of favour, even in the IPL, couldn't get a game in the IPL. And he's sort of come back and he has a little bit more energy through the crease. He bowls a little bit quicker, but he hasn't lost the spin and the flight that made him so successful in the first place. And he's come back as a newer, more complete cricketer. And I think when the pitch is flat, as it still was today, he's able to get more out of it than most spinners and also to see batters in other ways. I thought the wicket of Ben Duckett, for instance, was just a great example of a batter sort of getting done in the flight. Duckett comes forward to a ball that he thinks, I think, is a little bit fuller than it actually was, realises he's not there and all he can do is just prod it to the guy at Silly Point. So yeah, Caldeep was brilliant today. As was Jaiswal briefly, he got to his double 100. There's a great statistical breakdown of his innings on Crick Info, where it outlined that Jaiswal scored 17 off 67 off Anderson and then 192 off 223 from the England spinners. Obviously a huge difference in the scoring rate, and he started in some style in the second innings as well, taking consecutive boundaries off Bashir at the end of the day. England have got a problem with Jaiswal pretty much as big as their problem with Bumrah. Jaiswal scored 300 runs in the two first innings that he's batted in the series, and the way he started this innings, you'd expect him to get a few tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he looked pretty good coming out late tonight as well, having been batted, for a day yesterday?
Yeah.
A lot of a session this morning, been in the field, comes back out, it's business as normal, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, they have got a bit of a problem. And they need to find a way to target him. We talked about in the first match, the angle with Joe Root, but that Joe Root's not going to, he's not going to be able to consistently do that and consistently open the spin bowling like that. So yeah, they do have a problem with him, and you'd back him to go on and score loads more runs tomorrow.
The way he just treats anything over pitched, he just treats it with such disdain. It's like, how dare you bowl that at me? And he's the only India player this series so far who's really punished what is always going to happen with an attack this experience. They're going to bowl bad balls. They're going to bowl more bad balls than India, and India haven't actually been very good at punishing those bad balls yet, as ruthlessly as they should. And Jaiswal has absolutely done that, and it forces England to do things differently. As you saw today, England made a couple of bowling changes early on. It's very, very difficult. He almost neutralised Hartley yesterday. Hartley, obviously brilliant in the second innings. In the first test match, was bowling quite nicely. But when Jaiswal got hold of him, Hartley barely bowled. And he hasn't actually bowled for quite a long time in the test match. He didn't bowl today either. So huge, huge challenge for England.
Yeah, I was thinking, looking at him a little bit yesterday, we talk a lot about confidence, but I think when you're watching Jaiswal, it's almost a different kind of confidence. There's a confidence of like, well, why wouldn't I, be able to go and hit this bad ball into the stands and not get caught on the boundary? Why wouldn't I be able to do that? And that might end up sometimes in the kinds of shots we saw in the first test match where he gets 80 odd and then gets out. But it's almost a confidence that doesn't border on arrogance, because he just hasn't considered the other alternative. It's not a swagger, it's just this is going to happen and I'm going to be able to do it. And it's so refreshing to be able to see a young player come into the side and have that kind of confidence.
It's quite informed confidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
He knows how good he is and it's not misguided. He is actually as good as he thinks he is. He's not wrong to think that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's it for part one. In part two, we'll talk more about England. In terms of the match situation, Katia, England won with a first innings deficit of 190 in the first test. It's only 143 here at the start of the India second innings. Do England have a chance?
Not so this week's greatest ever comeback of all time. Well, yeah, because it's England and because it's Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum. And every single time you said, yeah, they're not going to win this one, that they've gone and won it. But it is a different scenario than last week, primarily because England are batting last, whereas last week they weren't. While the pitch hasn't seemed to deteriorate as much as the last one, it's a massively, what do you think, if they can bowl India out for what, looking at minimum 150 kind of thing?
Yeah, they're already 28 for none after five.
Yeah, exactly. So then they're 300 ahead on a final, final day or two with the Indian attack. It's going to be really, really difficult to come back from here. But then, we'll probably be speaking about this on Tuesday when they've come out and hit 400 in, two-thirds of a day and they've actually done it. But from an outsider looking in, it's a much more difficult situation than last week.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's not just England will have to bat last on this pitch. It's that I know this sounds really obvious, but India don't. You know, a massive reason why England were able to take 20 wickets last time was because England got to bowl when the pitch was at its worst and its hardest to bat. I was worried yesterday that England might not bat long enough to really get India in difficult conditions. That sort of happened. England were, well, how long did the England innings last?
About two sessions collectively.
Yeah,
right?
You know, England were, basically exactly that, 55.5 overs in the field. The pitch doesn't deteriorate very much in 55 overs. So even if by the end of the India innings, things are getting more difficult, you know, you'd expect the pitch to behave pretty well tomorrow. The commentators were saying before the game started that they expect day three to potentially be the best day for batting. So the conditions are completely in India's favour, partly because of the toss, but also because England didn't bat long enough. So I think India are in complete control of this test match in a way that I don't think they quite even were in Hyderabad. Michael asked, why do you think that Duckett et al. Appear to have abandoned the sweep shot after it served them so well at Hyderabad? Is it because of the extra pace in the wicket? That was quite interesting today. For whatever reason, Katia, England didn't play as many sweep shots as they did last week.
Yeah, it is interesting. Duckett kind of shot himself in the foot a little bit coming up before the series and talking about 10 sweep shots, really, didn't he? Because then as soon as he's getting out to not playing the sweep shots, people will be like, well, why aren't you playing one of your 10? Yeah, well, we were talking about R. Ashwin just before we started recording, right, that he's taking the pace off and he's getting the India batters in the net to just sweep him constantly. Mm. And that kind of shows the thought process behind it, that when you take the pace off a ball, it's going to be harder to sweep effectively. And it kind of shows the quality of a side and of a bowler that are learning to adapt to what England are doing. And now England have to adapt to what India are doing. But yeah, it is a little bit funny watching Duckett kind of get out to not sweeping now. Mm.
Yeah, 100%. I think England would say they played spin reasonably well today. Kuldeep took three wickets, but he did bowl really, really well. Ashwin didn't take a wicket. And that entire middle order of Pope, Root, Bairstow and Stokes fell to the supreme class of Bumrah. Niall asks, I know it's a good batting pitch and we were bowled. We bowled better than in the first test, but looking at Bumrah, have we missed out by not playing another seamer, or is it just a case of them having a freak, having 150 wickets at 20?
Well, of course it's a case of them like having a freak who can do that, because if you look at England squad, you can't just chuck another seamer in there and say, oh, you know, that'll do the same job, because they won't. There's no one like Bumrah England have got, because realistically, who would they have played? They would have played Mark Wood, probably the best.
Yeah,
or they would have played Robinson.
Yeah, I guess you could argue that Robinson showed in Pakistan that he can do a very, very similar job to Anderson on these sort of pitches. So if you're very simplistically just looking at, if you had two Andersons, maybe that shaves off 30, 40 runs from the India total. But I think
30, 40 of the 143 that England
have exactly,
trained by.
Exactly. And also, we were talking about it yesterday. I think England have picked a side to give them the best chance of bowling India out when it's going to spin loads in the fourth innings, third innings, hopefully. But the game just hasn't got to that point where you'd really expect Hartley, Bashir and Ahmed to cause serious problems for India. I think they bowled pretty well through the test match so far. I think they did a good job to restrict India to less than 400. But at the end of the day, you'd expect India, you know, they score 250 runs tomorrow. England, you're looking at world record chase territory. And you'd probably, you know, looking at how India finished the day today, you sort of expect India to bat all day tomorrow, and you'd worry that it's a sort of repeat of day one might happen, where England actually bowl pretty well, but find taking wickets really, really difficult.
But then you've also got to think, Mukesh today. I thought Mukesh bowled pretty well today, but he didn't have the same kind of effect that Bumrah had, because he's not Bumrah. You look at Anderson bowled so well on day one and day two to take three for not very many across about four sessions. So then you chuck Ollie Robinson into the mix, you chuck Mark Wood into the mix. It's not, you know, as you said, it might shave 40 runs up to total, take you out of the field for half a session, but it's not going to have that kind of for impact that's going to come in and make such a ridiculous difference. The pitch has probably more seen friendly this week than it was last week, but it's not so suited to just seen bowling as a blanket term to justify, I think, playing another seamer instead of one of the spinners.
Joe asks, what's happened to Joe Root?
Worth noting, Joe Root, he did score 91 like two matches ago, at the Oval. So I think when Root is playing in Indian conditions, people always expect him to score runs because he's the one that's got that's spoken about to be good at playing spin, and he's the one that's done it in India before. And then when he doesn't score runs, it's what's happened to Joe Root. He's also England's fullback option, so it looks worse when Root is not scoring any runs than it does when the others aren't scoring runs. Because when the others aren't scoring runs, you're falling back on him, and when he doesn't score runs, you've got no one to fall back on. But he's getting boomered like the rest of them. And, you know, we were talking about how boomer's getting him out, and it's a similar way to how Cummins has targeted Root in the past. And he just can't tell which way it's swinging, really, when it comes out of boomer's hand. You look at him in the last innings, in the last test match, where he got beaten on his inside edge and done LBW by boomer. And then this test where he's nicking off to boomer because he's trying to protect his front pad. He doesn't know which way it's swinging. And in all fairness, fair enough, yeah. You know, completely fair enough. But when you look back at where this series has won or lost, let's say India win the series and you're looking at where India have won it, they will have found a way to nullify Joe Root. Because if Joe Root scores runs, England are going to be well on their way to winning test matches.
Oh, 100%, 100%. You know, chat around conditions can be quite simplistic sometimes. So you see a pitch that's flat and you just think, okay, go on England, score 500. But even when it was 100-1, I was like, you know, someone's got to step up and do what Ollie Pope did last week. You know, the commentators were almost a bit joyless in how they're describing Jayaswal's innings in the first innings. When he was on 100, they said, well, he needs to make this one count. And you're like, well, he's already got 100. But Root is, even now, even though the other guys in the top six have had really good years or two under Stokes, he is still the most likely guy by an absolute mile to compile those massive scores, particularly in India. So if Bumrah in particular can keep Root quiet, that is sort of unlocking the series for India, and it's asking so many more questions of that England batting lineup.
Massively, like you can talk about Ollie Pope coming off the back of 196. Crawley's only like 5-6 innings after that Manchester epic. There are obviously, like, all of them can score runs, but when you look at Root, he's the one that does it consistently. And it's now, what is it, 3 innings in a row? Maybe it's 2 innings in a row that Ben Stokes is being asked to do a rescue act down the bottom of the order. And if you're thinking about consistently winning test matches in India over the course of a 5-match series, you need someone to have a series where they've scored all those runs. If you look at England's overseas victories in India and in Australia, that the one constant in that series is that Alistair Cook went on a spree and scored so many runs. You need to have that one person or those couple of people who are able to have those kinds of series if you're going to win in these kinds of environments.
100%. Chris asks, why is Anderson's batting not improved after 20 years and 180 test matches? Which I thought was a bit harsh. He got a promotion today. He actually batted at number 10, Shoaib Bashir, who finished unbeaten on 8 off 15, survived against Bumrah and co. But yeah, Anderson batted at number 10. That was the second time since November 2015 that Anderson has not batted 11.
So didn't review the LBW with three rubies remaining.
That was brilliant. Which I actually thought about it, was probably quite smart actually, because it didn't waste time so they can maybe get an extra over in. I know that extra over didn't really do much for England, but you could see what Anderson was thinking. But that was a great moment, not using a review when they had 3 left at the very end. Well, anyway, that's it for today. India are miles on top, but as we know from last week, it's never done until it's completely done with England.
Podcast Network.